Bible reading this morning is from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 21. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Saviour Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from becoming ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. So I will remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the temple of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He received honour and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to church this morning. I'm glad to see you here. And welcome especially to you if St. James is still a newish thing for you, if this is your first time or one of your first few times. We're glad you're here. My name's Alan. I'm the senior minister here at St. James. And at this time every year, we remind ourselves of our three priorities as a church. As I've been saying each week for several weeks now, every church, broadly speaking, is on about the same thing, growing God's kingdom. And the way that we have focused our own minds and our plans is by nominating three priorities at St. James: reaching the lost. Jesus said that he came to seek and save the lost, and so we take our lead from our risen Lord. Reaching the lost is our first priority. Discipling the young. St. James is a church with a lot of young people, and we want to make sure as adults that that the Christian faith doesn't die out with our generation, that we are bringing young disciples of Jesus in behind us, discipling the young. And our third priority is growing believers. That is for Christian people to continue to flourish in their resemblance of Jesus. And at the start of the year, we have a series of three sermons looking at one per week, and today we come to our third, focusing on growing believers. As was mentioned in our prayers, Kaz is not here this morning. Normally, as for the past 2 weeks, I would speak for about 15 minutes and then I would invite Kaz to come up and finish the message by outlining our vision for St. James this year in this area. Kaz's dad died suddenly, very unexpectedly, in the early hours of Friday morning. And so please remember her in your prayers. She's not here this morning, even though she is the one who really leads us in this priority. And I'll be subbing in for her in the second part of this morning's message. Well, priority three is growing believers. And most people who come to St. James on a Sunday are Christian believers. And so just on the face of it, it should be the priority that we're most energized by. It affects most of us. And yet, ironically, I think it's the one that most readily fades into the background as compared to reaching the lost and discipling the young. It's easily overlooked. And you might even think, if you've been a Christian for many years or decades, as I have, is growth even a realistic expectation in my spiritual life at this stage? Sure, you know, when I was young, you know, there were the days of youth ministry and beach missions and all the rest of it. But now I just sort of hold the line, as it were. What should be my own expectations of growth as a Christian person? Well, I would say that it is critical for us as a church that we are effective in growing believers, that we are a place where Christians of whatever age experience growth. It's critical for two reasons. First of all, it's critical because all that we aspire to be and to do as a church really relies on us growing as individual believers. All that we hope to be relies on believers who are growing. It is growing believers who will be most energetic about reaching the lost and discipling the young. It's growing believers who are taking most joy in the fact of their Christian life. It's growing believers who will love and serve others and make us the kind of community that we think churches ought to be. Believers who aren't growing find it hard to pray. They find it hard to give. They find it hard to make sacrifices. They find it hard to accept change in the way we do things at church, change in your cherished preferences for the sake of others, that they might find a home at St. James. Believers who aren't growing find all those things harder. All that we want to be as a church is really facilitated by growing believers. That's the first reason that it's critical. But the second reason is that in the Bible, there is no other type of believer. To be a believer is to go on growing. There's no plan B where you're a non-growing believer, as we're going to see in our passage this morning. It's true that if you're not growing, you're missing out on all the richness of Christian experience. But ultimately, the Bible doesn't even recognize that as a category. I'm going to see that in our passage this morning from 2 Peter. I have 3 points that I'm going to make this morning. Firstly, what we receive, what we do, and what's at stake. What we receive as Christians, what we do, and what's at stake. Firstly, what we receive. If there's one thing that we are clear on at St. James, it's that salvation is a gift. We enjoy reminding one another and singing praises about the grace of God to us, his generosity. Salvation is something we receive. We're rescued not by giving to God, not by performing for God, but by receiving from God. We know this. The gospel that is so dear to us is that utterly before and apart from my asking, much less deserving, Jesus lived a perfect life in my place. And that by dying on the cross, he surrendered to the judgment that my sins deserve. He has enabled his very forgiveness of me, which I receive by faith in him. It's a gift. Look at Peter's summary of what it means to be a Christian believer. He says in his passage, Simon Peter, this is how he opens his book, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who, through the righteousness of our God and Saviour Jesus Christ, have received a faith. That's how he sums it up. have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. He goes on, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us through his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us. And so it goes on. God gives, he calls, and we receive. That's the pattern. This is why Christians are mortified when non-Christian people and non-church-going people assume that somehow Christians are saying that we're forgiven as a reward for our goodness or something like that. We say, no, God gives, we receive. That's the very nature of Christian belief. Now, that's all well and good, but imagine, like plenty of people at St. James, you come to understand this at the age of 7 or 17. You put your faith in Jesus, and that's years, maybe decades ago. You think, well, what am I supposed to be doing now? What am I supposed to be experiencing now? I still believe those same things. Is that the job? What are we supposed to do? Well, Peter includes his own application point. He talks about what we've received and he says, for this very reason, look at this expression, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, to goodness knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness mutual affection love. In other words, he's saying, make every effort to grow, to make spiritual progress, to experience transformation of character. Make every effort. The Christian life is one, both one, we have to hold this together, it's both one in which we receive from God, but also one of continual effort and growth as receivers. And I love Peter's list here, his sample list of growth areas. Goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, mutual affection, love. You could lengthen it, no doubt. And perhaps, like me, you look down that list and there's one or two things that just pop out for you. You think, yeah, mutual affection, sure, but I could really grow in knowledge, you know, if I'm honest. Knowledge is fine, but self-control is an issue for me, whatever it is. And that list really is a picture of the character of Jesus himself. It's an encouragement to grow in Christ-likeness and in Christ-centeredness in our lives. And it reminds us that growth is not automatic, that it's something that can result from our effort. Make every effort, he says. And that's what it means to be Christian. It means that's true of you. And there's no other version. These words are not written to first-year Bible college students or something. They're just written to a congregation such as we are this morning, just a regular Christian people. He says, you've received all this from God. Go on making every effort to see the fruit of the gospel in your life. Sometimes I think the word believer is a bit too static for us. It captures a reality, but it doesn't remind us of the need to keep growing. Perhaps a better word, again, a Bible category, is to keep telling ourselves, if I'm a child of God, what do children do? They grow. To see growth, such as we would expect in any child. And the Bible uses so many expressions to capture this process of continual transformation. The Bible talks about growth. It talks about maturity. It talks about sanctification. But it's all referring to this progress. Well, that's what we do. We make every effort. What we receive is salvation. What we do is make every effort. But thirdly and finally, what's at stake? According to the Bible, to be a believer is to be a growing believer. And so Peter, the writer, he doesn't fudge the seriousness of what's at stake. He says, if you possess these qualities, that list, if you possess them in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they've been cleansed from their past sins. Now, this is a strong word, actually. We mustn't mistake what's being said. I think it's easy to say, oh, look, sure, growth, ideally, but frankly, I'm happy to be an economy class Christian. I know there's people up the front of the plane who are they're forging ahead and they're volunteering for all sorts of things and they're signing up for courses, but I'm happy to be down the back. He doesn't have that category. When he says, if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they'll keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. I might just bring that text back up there, Kushat. They'll keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. He's not describing some other type of Christian. Look at the wording there. Ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. When he says nearsighted and blind, he's not describing a Christian person. Christians aren't described as blind. Christians in the scriptures are those who can see. To be nearsighted, to be blind, to be forgetful of the forgiveness of sins, this is no longer to be Christian. He's saying that salvation is at stake. And this is why every Christian must be growing. And think of it this way. This isn't the greatest metaphor, but think of it as a bicycle. Imagine that at some point in your life you receive a bicycle, you're very energized by this, and you just make this part of your lifestyle. You commute to work by bicycle. You go to the shops on your bicycle. You use your bicycle for recreation. And you're proud to describe yourself as a cyclist. You're a cyclist. So in conversation you say, look, speaking as a cyclist, Liverpool Road needs bike lanes. You know, speaking as a cyclist, our urban planning is this or that. Speaking as a cyclist. And so you should. You are a cyclist. But let me ask you this. Life gets busy. You pop the bike in the garage. How many weeks or months or years go past before it's no longer meaningful to describe yourself as a cyclist? At some point you have to say, I'm a former cyclist. It's not the greatest analogy, but you see the point I'm making. Growth is part of what it means to be a Christian. We have good weeks and bad weeks. We might even have good years and not so good years. But in the end, the trajectory of our life as Christian people is growth, because we receive from God. For all that we receive from God to be ineffective in our lives, well, that's maybe to be a former cyclist, is it not? That's the point that he's trying to make here. That's the very reason for which he writes these words. And look at how he contrasts those who are ineffective with those who make every effort. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort, he uses the same expression again, to confirm your calling and election. If you do these things, you'll never stumble and you'll receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour. As if to say that's not true of the previous, the ineffective and unproductive. The stakes are high. The stakes are high. And that's why for us as a church, our first priority and our second priority on their own are not enough. It's not enough to say we reach the lost and we disciple the young. We say no, in keeping with the scripture, we're passionate about growing believers. One writer says this, it's a word of instruction to pastors like me. A vital dimension of the church's teaching and preaching is the regular reminder that spiritual maturity is indeed our calling. It is our destiny, our human vocation in Christ. Congregations that do not pursue with passion and vigor a dynamic maturity in Christ are surely as fraudulent as a hospital that is not passionate and vigorous in its pursuit of healing and wholeness. He makes his point forcefully. He says we've got to have that third priority, because that's what it means for us to be together as a fellowship. We're a fellowship of those who are growing in Christ, seeking spiritual maturity. Well, the warning is real, but the news, you know, the news is all good. Why? Because we are receivers. Because God really does give us all we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us. And, you know, that's true today, regardless of your circumstances. Let me encourage you. I was chatting to someone after the 9 o'clock congregation. She's got several small children. And she said, is this true? I said, it is true for you. It won't look the same in your life as it might look in somebody else's life. But God has not abandoned you to a season where you cannot make progress. And the other good news is you're at a church that is committed to growing you, to helping you in this. Our third priority is growing believers. Our small groups are called growth groups. Fancy that. We have one of our full-time ministers is our growing believers minister. As you might know, Kaz sends out to our regulars every January, she sends out a spiritual growth survey. And it's pretty short, it's got half a dozen questions, something like this. And every year, the overwhelming majority of people at St. James do say they've experienced some growth. Some say they've experienced much growth. And I think perhaps like me, people look at it and they reflect and they think, oh yeah, this has been an okay year. I wouldn't say I've gone backwards or stayed still. That's encouraging, but I want to raise your expectations this year. To give you a vision of really saying, with a level of intentionality, I'm going to grow as a goal for myself. This is something I want and that Jesus wants for me. When Kaz started in her role, she's just passed her fifth anniversary, actually, this past few weeks. When Kaz started in her role, it was a new role. We hadn't had a growing believers minister before. And I was trying to explain to her what I wanted, what the outcome of this new role was to be. And I said this. I said, look, there's a variety of reasons for which adults come to St. James. Most adults who arrive at St. James are already Christian believers. And they come for various reasons. They come because we're nearby and they've moved into the area. Or they come because their kids are at a tricky age and they're concerned for them in the Lord and they think St. James will be a good church for their kids. Or they come because they love our music or our preaching, whatever it happens to be. They come for various reasons. And I said to Kaz, my vision is this. My vision is that if we really as a church are able to get priority three right with your leadership, then people will be able to say 5 years after they arrive at St. James, I came here for XYZ reason. I came here for the sake of my kids. But you know what? These past 5 years, I have grown more than I ever could have imagined. That's my vision. And that's my vision for you, my sisters and brothers, that you might be saying that in a year's time or in 5 years' time. This has been a tremendous season of growth for me. Regardless of the particular motivation through which you came up to St. James in the first place. And so the question is, what does it look like for you to, using the words of Scripture, to make every effort in 2022? Well, at this point, I hand over, as it were, to Kaz, who sent me through her presentation, which I'll make on her behalf. And what Kaz has for us this year, very excitingly, is the idea that we might set ourselves spiritual goals. Spiritual goals. Now, depending on your temperament, you're very energized by that, or you're, oh. But stay. Spiritual goals. This is going to be good for us. This is going to bless you. Spiritual goals. Let me lay this out. At the heart of our life as a church is the cross of Jesus. This is the sum of all we receive from God as receivers. the death and resurrection of Jesus himself. And what it means to grow in Christ is to become increasingly, if you like, Christ-centered. That our lives might be centered on Christ, and so all those things that Peter set out in that list are increasingly true of us. Now that's all very well and good to say, well, I want to be increasingly Christ-centered this year. But how do we conceive it? It's so big. What is the more Christ-centered version of you? Well, we can think of this in broad categories. Kaz has helped us here. She's come up with a diagram to summarise how we might think about our lives in Christ. One category might be that we more fully dwell in God. I like that expression. We dwell in God. By this, we mean just that we're more mindful of the Lord through the hours of our day. That we feel like we're walking closely with him, which is another in-house Christian expression. That we feel as though our life is centered in our identity as his child. One of our regulars said to me a couple of years ago that he feels like he's a Christian for about 4 hours a week. It was a lovely self-diagnosis, which means just the contrast that there can be between the time spent at growth group and in church on a Sunday and the rest of the week, in which it's hard to locate God or locate myself as God's person, to dwell in God, to abide in Christ, to use language that Jesus used. That could be one category where we can grow and set goals. Another category might be in our love for one another. I like this. Some people are great at the first category, very mindful of God. They have a rich prayer life, but they struggle with really loving others. I had this lovely chat. If you can think back as far as 2020, during COVID Mark 1, when we had church online, that wasn't even live streamed, it was just church online. And, you know, church was me in the armchair. Remember that? Remember those happy times? And I was chatting to one of our regulars after that had finished up. And he said, again, lovely candor, he said that was kind of the version of church he'd been looking for all his life. He said on a Sunday morning, he'd make a cup of tea, go out onto the deck, open his laptop. He felt like it was just him and Alan, just lost in the things of the Lord. He loved it. And a very godly person, but somebody who really needs to grow in his affection for his sisters and brothers in Christ. Not as just a discipline, church is good, I've got to put up with those people, but as a genuine work of God in your heart. That's the great hopefulness of this. This is a work that God does in our heart, that we do find ourselves dwelling in him, that we do surprise ourselves by the welling up in our hearts of love for those sisters and brothers in Christ, at church or in growth group. There's a third category, serve generously. That's really finding the joy of going beyond myself to bless others. There are so many ways in which this can take place. And there are some who are happy enough to be in church. They feel like they have a love for their sisters and brothers in Christ. But this is an area where they really just haven't moved. They haven't grown. This might be serving in a formal ministry or on a roster. It might be something informal. It might be financial giving. A very significant and heart-transforming area of spiritual growth. This might be you as you sit here this morning. And you know what? Again, it's work of God in your heart. It's easy for us to look at other people who are very involved in ministries and we just assume that person must be less busy than I am. Not true. I mean, maybe they are, but maybe they're not. That's not what this is about. It's not that the more time you have, the more you serve at St. James. It's a reflection of our heart to serve generously. And a fourth category, I love this language, to represent Christ. To really live for Christ in the world and in your relationships. This is both how you relate to other people. It includes your verbal testimony, it includes evangelism, but also just includes the demonstration of the gospel which has transformed who you are as a person. It really involves being publicly and consistently in all your spheres who you are privately in your heart as a child of God. To be more fully and joyfully who Jesus has made you to be, namely his representative to represent him. Now, this is a good diagram to kind of frame our thinking as we reflect on what goals we might set for ourselves. Helps a bit with self-diagnosis. And if we're going to make every effort, then we think, okay, what does a goal for me look like in one of those areas, for example? Now, at this point, I want to direct your attention to a resource that Kaz has produced for us. They're these. They're on the end of your pew. You might want to take one and pass them along to your neighbours, or if they're unevenly distributed, you might want to pass one back, or there are enough in the building. Now, this is really to go to the next level, the real delivery stage, which is where we might set ourselves a goal. So you have on that handout there, you have a diagram. The one that's on the screen, those four quadrants. But more significantly, you have what it might look like to set yourself a goal. The first category there on the front and the remaining three on the back. And Kaz has suggested a few bullet points there. You might come up with another. For example, if you feel like you really need to grow in your love for others, you can see at the top of the back page there. That might be something as simple as being more frequent and consistent in your church attendance. It might be joining a growth group. Maybe you've been fending off that overture from Kaz year after year because you think, more people. It might be something like exercising a ministry of hospitality in your own home, whatever it is. So if you think, yes, growing in my love for others, you might find a goal there that looks like a great goal for you to grow in this year, or you might add one of your own. I'm going to give you here, just in this moment, I'm going to give you a couple of minutes to just reflect on all those bullet points in those four categories, and indeed to take a step and nominate a goal for yourself. This is private for you. You don't have to pass this along afterwards. I'm not going to collect these up. If you're bashful, you can shield your work from the student beside you. But if we're serious about making every effort, as the scripture encourages us to do, then in all likelihood it might start with a goal like this. So I'm going to give you a minute to just look through that and nominate a spiritual goal for 2022. Now, my sisters and brothers, the idea of these goals is not to give you yet another thing to do in 2022, but rather to think in terms of your walk with the Lord, your Christian life, that you've already received from him, that you might continue to be blessed in that as you make every effort to grow in Christ. The final thing to mention this morning is that in addition to these goals which we set ourselves, there are three brilliant St. James structures that will help make these goals fruitful in our lives. All three of them are included in the weekly news email you got this morning. There's a link to all three. The first is to join a growth group. The label for those groups is not accidental. A growth group. So your growth group might be a place, for example, where you share what your goal is. And your fellow growth group members are a bit of a cheer squad for you, to encourage you and strengthen you in this, to pray for you. You can join a growth group. So there's the link in our weekly news. You can hit that and Kaz will be in touch about joining a group, about time of week and those kinds of things. The second thing that is available to you is a spiritual goal seminar. This is at the end of the month, February the 27th, on a Sunday afternoon, 3:30 till 5. We're going to do a seminar where there are strands looking at each of these areas, and what it looks like for us to really take action on these goals. So if this is a new idea for you and you think, I'm full of good intentions, the Spiritual Goals Seminar might be great for you to say, okay, your intention is to develop a regular devotional life, and the seminar is really going to help you do that. And thirdly and finally, again, there's a link in the weekly news email, you can sign up to get 4 reminder emails over the course of this year. Now, you don't have to, if you don't wish to, you don't have to go into detail in your reminder email about what your goal is. This is not checking up on you or something, but you might say, look, I'm very inspired by this today. Nevertheless, it wouldn't hurt you to get a little email around Easter saying, good on you for committing to goals, you know, how are you going with it, praying for you, whatever. So if you click that link, then 4 times over the course of the remaining year, you'll get a little email to jog your memory and encourage you to forge forward. Growth groups, seminars, and reminder emails. Personally, I intend to sign up for all 3. For me, that's making every effort. I need all the help. Let me finish with these words from 2 Peter chapter 1. He writes, therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And so may it be for us. Amen.